The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the KTQA Daily Briefing. My apologies for being a little bit later than usual. It is 3:16 p.m. on this wonderful Wednesday, December 16th. We're a little bit later than we typically are this afternoon because we were standing by and listening and waiting to bring you the updates of the governor's most recent press conference alongside several public health representatives and the Office of Superintendent Public Instruction Representative Chris Reichdahl. But before we get to that, want to let you know that, as usual, state-level updates and information on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line, and the state's coronavirus Q&A line is 1-800-525-0127. You can press pound when they answer and say your language if you want to talk with someone or ask your questions in a language other than English. And you can text the word coronavirus to 211-211 for asking any of those questions or seeking COVID-19 information. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources throughout the entire state of Washington, and you can also visit wa211.org online. A number of mental wellness support phone lines and text services are available to you. The Washington Listens support line is one for managing stress and getting referrals. That number is 1-833-681-0211. It's great for just a listening ear, for someone to confidentially hear what you're going through and make suggestions, or for getting referrals to mental health and behavioral health services in your area. The Suicide Prevention Lifeline for those who are experiencing acute crisis is 1-800-273-8255. There's a crisis text line that provides confidential text access from anywhere in the U.S. to a trained crisis counselor. All you gotta do is text HEAL, H-E-A-L, to 741741. Adolescents can call the Teen Link number. You can also text that number. That's 866-833-6546. That's a peer support line with trained peer support counselors who are there to help teenagers through the tough times that they might be experiencing right now. And any individuals struggling with substance use or addiction can call or text the Washington Recovery Helpline. That's 366-789-1511. The State Department of Health again notes that while COVID-19 vaccines won't be available for the general public for quite some time, as we're prioritizing critical health workers and long-term care residents, most members of the public can and should get their flu vaccines. If you don't have your flu vaccine yet for this winter, find a location at vaccinefinder.org. Or, of course, you can always call 211 for those resources. They can put you in touch with how to get a flu vaccine in your area. The public health departments are also running flu clinics. Lots of them are free. And you can also call your healthcare provider. The Washington State Department of Health is hosting an online Spanish language webinar to address frequently asked questions about vaccines in the era of COVID-19. The panel discussions will feature experts in the fields of virology and medicine from Latino Center for Health on Thursday, December 17th at 6:30 p.m. Washington residents can register for the webinar in advance and submit vaccine questions. The link to the webinar can be found by going online to coronavirus.wa.gov and looking in the news section. Or if you're a Facebook user that doesn't have ad block, you might have had those ads targeted to you as a sponsored post. Again, those are that's a Spanish language webinar for those that have questions and confusion and just seeking information regarding the coronavirus vaccine. And that webinar will be held on Thursday, December 17th at 6:30 p.m. in Spanish. If you're unable to attend, you should still register because a link to the recording of the webinar will be emailed out after it takes place. And as I was saying at the beginning of when we went to air, the governor was holding a press conference announcing changes to the school health and safety toolkit and current so-called decision tree that's designed to help local officials make decisions about when and how to offer in-person education. And it's all based on new data. So basically, the governor announced that transitioning students back into the classroom can begin immediately with safety precautions and under updated guidance. The governor shared scientific data that has become available in the most recent 6 months that shows that COVID-19 transmission risk is low at schools where safety and health measures like physical distancing, mask wearing, frequent cleaning, hand washing, and good ventilation are in place. The governor reiterated that he, along with public health departments, has the statutory authority to close schools, but that local school boards are the ones with authority to open schools. The new guiding recommendations suggest that if COVID cases in a school's area of service are below 50 per 100,000 people, schools may invite all students to return for in-person schooling, again, as long as those health and safety measures are able to be implemented and adhered to. If cases in the area are greater than 50 per 100,000, but fewer than 350 per 100,000, schools can consider phasing in a system for in-person instruction, starting with youngest students. He also shared that data now show that young students actually adhere to health and safety measures like mask wearing and physical distancing better than do teenagers. If schools choose to open, they must, by law, abide by all workplace safety and health rules. The state is also allocating funds through the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction for schools to prep for student and staff returns to school sites. Further recommendations suggest that once in-person learning has resumed, there isn't a need to revert to remote learning, even if community disease rates increase, but only to put a pause on bringing back any other additional groups of students until disease rates are stable. If disease rates are currently stable or are decreasing, the guidelines suggest moving forward with phasing in more groups of students for in-person learning. And the governor also aims to expand testing regimens for school staff and students, such as those that have been implemented and deployed in some of our local Pierce County school districts who have returned to in-person schooling. I'm certain that more information will be available at least by tomorrow at coronavirus.wa.gov in the news section. Meanwhile, the governor's Facebook live feed was currently holding the press conference and should be available for viewing once that video is rendered and processed after the conference ends. Now on to our regional news. The Tacoma Pierce County Health Department reported 225 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The county's average cases per day over the last 2 weeks was 345, and the 14-day case rate per 100,000 people was 535. So looking at that for Pierce County, in comparison to the new guidelines for resuming in-person education, we would, in Pierce County, not be recommended at this time to implement any kinds of in-person education for large swaths of even our youngest students. Only those who are of highest need, such as our students who receive special education services. Let's see. Additionally, our big news that we've been talking about for a little while is the Pierce County Council's proposal to dismantle the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. The council still held a vote on Bill number 2020-136. Again, that was the proposal to dismantle the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, despite the governor having issued an emergency order halting any efforts to dissolve health departments or health districts across the state. Interestingly, however, the bill failed to pass with a majority vote. So that measure for right now, that bill and that effort is dead in the water as far as we can tell. More regional news. Critical staff at Joint Base Lewis-McChord started receiving coronavirus vaccines today, voluntarily. Prioritized recipients at JBLM include healthcare workers, vulnerable populations, personnel working on so-called national capabilities, and some individuals that are approaching deployments. Moving on to Tacoma information, the Hilltop Action Coalition is facilitating a Hilltop holiday crawl to support local businesses now through December 20th. Individuals can stop by the Hilltop Action Coalition for a passport, as well as face masks and hand sanitizer, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at 1116 Ernest S. Brazil Street. More info can be found online at hilltopcrawl.com. And as far as getting tested for COVID-19, if you've been exposed to someone who has tested positive, or if you are experiencing symptoms of COVID-19, our King County listeners can go to kingcounty.gov to find a list of testing locations. Note, though, that in King County, they're no longer allowing individuals to book free COVID-19 tests days in advance. And that's really in order to discourage any would-be holiday travelers to prioritize testing for those who have been exposed or those who are experiencing symptoms. In any case, unless you had already begun quarantining last Thursday, the health department urges you to abide by the guidelines that say don't gather for in-person holiday gatherings. For our Pierce County listeners, as always, you can go to the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department website at tpchd.org/COVID test. This week's remaining mobile testing events include Thursday, December 17th, Puyallup Fairgrounds Blue Lot and Centro Latino. And on Friday, December 18th, there will be COVID-19 testing at the Tacoma Nazarene Church and at Chapel Hill Presbyterian Church in Gig Harbor. As always, no ID is required. They are free. Those tests are free and open to anyone between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and results are available within 3 to 7 days. Again, we will update at 6 o'clock during our replay if there's further information or further announcements regarding the newly announced guidelines for resuming in-person schooling for our children, as long as safety precautions are able to be implemented. Other than that, we will hopefully update everyone tomorrow at 3 p.m. You've been listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing with me, Becky. Remember that you can always dial 311 for the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. You can dial 211 for statewide community resources and referral services, including food and nutrition resources. Our email address here is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number where you can call us or text us is 253-330-8821. If you missed any part of today's briefing, you can catch our 6 p.m. replays right here on 95.3 FM. Or you can listen or read the daily briefing on our website at daily.ktqa.org. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay physically distant, but separately, together, connected through radio and technology.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.
I just heard that KTQA's volunteers are building out a broadcast studio right in the heart of Hilltop. That can't be easy or cheap. That's why I kicked a few dollars their way at ktqa.org/donate. After all, once KTQA gets enough funding, they can start adding so much more music variety to their lineup and give the people of Tacoma the chance to participate in actually creating programs that truly entertain and represent us, and not what some corporation thinks. Go to ktqa.org/donate to support community radio by making your gift today.